Amen. That's the Christian life, walking by faith and not just by what we see around us or what we perceive to be the case, but what God's Word has told us. Well, this morning we're going to pick up our study that we began last week into the role of a man in his home and consider the nature specifically this morning of how a man deals with his wife. We've taken a brief break from our study in the Gospel of Mark to look at this important aspect of that really affects much of the Christian life, and that is how what the man's responsibility is in his home. We laid out last week the general picture of where God has placed the man as head in his home, and said that has implications for most all of us, even within the church and in society at large. Well, as we've been studying the Gospel of Mark, I hope you've already come to see that following Jesus has some radical implications. It's not just kind of a come easy as you are. Jesus demands of us, and he calls people to himself not to come in however they want to. He calls them to come and follow him. Rightly understood, there's not a single area of life that is outside the realm of what it means to be a follower of Christ. He came to restore us to a right relationship with God, and God is our Creator, and everything we do is goes back to Him. Even the most personal aspects of a man's relationship with his own wife. I mean, we can't, men, have a kind of a Billy Bob mindset that no one's going to tell me how to run my house and love my wife. What? You mean the Lord of the universe is not going to tell you? No, that's not the way we come to the Lord or come to his word. We come to see, Lord, humbly tell me how it is you would have me to lead my family and even interact with our wife. Well, as we properly understand this design and we try to live in conformity to it, a couple of things happen. One is, men, we display to the watching world around just how Christ loves his church and his chosen people. We have an opportunity to display that. But also, we just get to reap the joy that God designed a certain way that life should be lived, and he gave us those instructions so we would live by it. And as we do, there is great joy and fulfillment in life. As we stray away from that, there may be temporary pleasure or temporary satisfaction, but it fades away quickly. But true and lasting satisfaction, joy, as well as bringing glory to God in all of our lives, is a result of plainly looking at God's word and following his instructions. So we began last week, as I said, by laying out the position of a man in his home, that he is head, and that terminology in Scripture is borne out throughout all of Scripture, and it refers to one particular aspect, that the man has authority in his home, and all he does bears out from that point of how he goes about being the one in authority in his home. That authority is not given to him in an autonomous sense. He can do with it whatever he wants to do. God has placed him under some very specific commands of how he is to use that authority. It's not up to his own selfish whims or desires. He's directly accountable to God. God has given us some specific commands, men, that we must follow. We laid out those last week, and I just want to begin to zero in on those over the next couple of weeks. This morning, we're going to look at the man's responsibility towards his wife. We covered that area pretty thoroughly when we went through the book of 1 Peter in 1 Peter 3. And so I'm not going to dig into detail in that this morning. I'm going to spend this morning looking at that responsibility. And then over the next couple of weeks, we're going to focus in on the father's responsibility, or the man in regard to his children, how he is to fulfill that role as head. But we looked at a couple of general commands. The first couple of blanks there on your outline, a couple of general commands that are implications of being the head in the home. And that was that the man has the responsibility to lead and direct his home. His family members are under command by God, the wife to submit to him and the children to obey him. And that is within the realm if he rules his home under the moral laws of God. Obviously, if he is ruling his home and asking his family members to do something outside of God's moral law, then God's law comes upon him. But as long as he rules within the realm of God's moral law, he has authority in his home. Paul makes that point very clear in 1 Corinthians 11:3, that in the similar way that Jesus is the head of the church, so a man is the head of his wife, and they are to respond to his leadership. Then there's some implication there for your wife and your children, but there's a very direct implication for you, that you are to lead. You've been given the headship in your home, and that means you are to lead. You are to actively, actually lead and direct your family and where they should go, both in the spiritual and in the physical or material aspects of life. And we'll begin to consider what the implications of are in a moment, specifically as it relates to your wife. Second general command is for men as the head in their home is that they were to provide/protect, all coming under this sense of provision. Obviously, protection is there as well. 1 Timothy 5:8 says, if a man does not provide for his own, he is especially his own family, he's denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. And that's a principle that's stated throughout Scripture in various ways. We find the roots of it in God's own command to Adam in Genesis 1 through 3 to provide for his family, to tend the garden, to work the ground by the sweat of his own brow, both before and after man's sin. That's his responsibility to fulfill. Man, you need to understand it's your responsibility to provide for your family. You may, on occasion, have opportunity, or you may, your wife may assist you in that role. Your children may assist you in that role, but ultimately it is your role to fulfill, to provide for your family's needs. Part of that provision, as I mentioned, is protection from harm, both physical and spiritual harm. Man, you're more than an ATM on legs. I mean, you don't just provide the finances for whatever your family wants to do. Your responsibilities extend beyond just bringing home the bacon, mowing the yard, and supervising the remote control. You have more responsibilities in your home when it comes to this area of provision than just providing for their basic needs. And we're going to look at that in particular when it comes to your wife this morning. What you have is you have a tremendous privilege of using your position of leadership and headship in your home to lead and direct your family and provide for them what they need physically, socially, mentally or intellectually, spiritually. You need to make sure your home is a safe place, a secure environment in which they can grow and be all that the Lord has called them to be. That's part of your privilege and responsibility. So those are your core responsibilities, to lead and direct and then provide and protect as well. And in that, you fulfill much the same role as a New Testament elder does in the church. Okay, you are there to lead and set the direction, but you are to do it as a shepherd guiding the flock towards green pastures and everything they need. You are to do it under Christ's command. You aren't free to do it, just like a New Testament elder isn't free to do whatever he wants to with the church. He is under some specific commands in God's word of how the church is to be led. It's not according to your own whims, men, or your own opinions, or what you've come up with as your best plan. You're not to lead in such a way as to stroke your own pride. You are to lead strictly according to God's word, as revealed in the Scripture. He gave you the authority, and he has told you what to do with it, men. And you are accountable to that. Well, in addition to these general commands for kind of leading your family in general, he gave some very specific commands to the role you play as husband and the role as a father as well, and leading your wife in particular and leading your children. As to your wife, he gives three additional commands, that you are to honor her, do not be harsh with her, and love her. And we'll look at those in detail this morning. Then with respect to your children, Your leadership and provision for your children will involve the commands of Ephesians 6:4, of Colossians 3:21, to bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord, and in the process, not to exasperate them. And we'll look at those in the coming weeks. So this morning, let's look at your responsibility, men, when it comes to your wife. Open your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 3, and let's begin there with this first specific command issued to how a man should husband his wife, should take the leadership role, provide and protect and lead and direct her in your home. First is, here in 1 Peter 3, 7, is to honor your wife. This is a specific command, to honor your wife. 1 Peter 3, 7, husbands, in the same way, live with your wives in an understanding way, as with someone weaker, since she is a woman. Show her honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life, so that your prayers will not be hindered. Peter here, in explaining at the beginning in chapter 3, explaining the wife's responsibility towards her husband, plainly calls her to submit to him in verse 1. He calls husbands here to live with their wife in an understanding way. And specifically, an understanding that she has been assigned by God in your marriage in a weaker position, in the sense that she is under your authority. You are the head in the home, and she is under that authority for you to lead and guide and direct her. And you need to live with in an understanding way that she is in that weaker position. When we studied through 1 Peter, we looked at this phrase, she is a weaker vessel. And we questioned whether that was always weaker physically, always weaker emotionally, always weaker intellectually. And we said, no, that's not always the case. But what Peter is referring in, why honor is necessary, is because she is in a weaker position under your authority. And therefore, you're not to domineer her with your authority. You're not to domineer your wife with your authority. But rather, what Peter says is, show her honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life. Don't ever treat your wife as a second-class citizen simply because you've been given headship in the home. Last week, we laid out, she stands as equal with you before God. It's not a position that you are naturally greater or more important than her. You stand equal before God, and yet God has assigned particular roles for each of you to fulfill. She's been assigned the role to you as your helper. And men, you need to understand, often that is a very difficult role for her to fulfill. But don't ever devalue her, but rather highly honor her in your home. Don't ever consider that she is like a servant in your home, just there to do your bidding. Now, she is not your servant. She is a queen in your home. And that is how you are to view her. She is your equal, and yet she has been placed at your side by God to help you as you rule on his behalf in your home and in the world. So as you lead and direct and provide for your home, but specifically for your wife, you're always to do so in such a way that demonstrates that you honor her. You highly value her. You're thankful that your home is graced by her presence. That's the first command, to honor your wife. It's plainly stated. It can't be violated. Second command, turn back a few pages, past Hebrews to Colossians chapter 3. We'll see the second direct command that God gives to men in relation to their wife. Colossians chapter 3 is very similar to Ephesians chapter 5, where Paul is laying out the responsibilities for various parts of the Christian family. And here he speaks directly to wives in verse 18, and then to husbands in verse 19. Husbands, love your wives and do not be embittered against them. It's a negative command here.
We saw in 1 Peter as a positive command. We see the first part of verse 19 as a positive command, something you are to be doing. But at the end of verse 19, we see, do not be embittered or do not be harsh with them. And this is a necessary command to curb what is probably the most natural reaction to one in authority when things aren't quite going his way with those who are under his authority. The temptation is to then shortcut the honor required towards your queen in your home and to begin to rule with harshness, strictness, sternness, hostility, even cruelty, and to become just closed off and pitiless and heartless and unfeeling and uncaring towards her appeals to you or to her needs. You become unwilling to be reasoned with. That's the temptation. I'm just laying down the law and you just need to do it. That's just the way it's going to be in my house. Aren't I the head? See, this is what this command is specifically commanding against. It's exactly the opposite of the patient, gracious, forgiving attitude that Christ calls all believers to have with one another. Right? And so just because you are a leader in your home doesn't exempt you from exhibiting those characteristics as you lead your family. You have received a grace in Christ of his patience, forgiveness, kindness, and gentleness towards you. And you are now in the position, like somewhat as a head over your family, just like Christ is head over the church. And so therefore you are to emulate his characteristics in how you go about leading. And so a specific command here, not to ever be harsh. Well, men, we've all violated this command to one degree or another at some time or another because we are sinful human beings. We don't need to forget that God has put us under specific command in this regard. And if we have, we need to repent. We need to turn away. If you've gotten into a bitter pattern in your relationship with your wife, acknowledge that and say, before God, I need to change. I don't need to be embittered in my spirit towards my wife. This gracious gift of God to me to be my helper. Regardless of how she is responding to me, I am forbidden from ever being harsh with her. That's the second command, and we need to take it seriously. Third command, turn back a few more pages to Ephesians 5. We saw it there in Colossians 3:19 as well. But Paul goes into greater detail in Ephesians 5 about the third responsibility, and that is to love your wife. First, we saw that you should honor her, then you should not be harsh with her, and thirdly, to love your wife. In the same breath that Paul says in Ephesians 5:22 that wives are to be subject to their own husbands or submit to the headship of their husbands, he says, verse 25, husbands, love your wives. A third fence or parameter around how you go about leading and directing and guiding your family and specifically your wife. You are to do so with love. The leading and the providing must not just be done in an honoring or a gentle way. It also must be done in a loving way. Same thing with honor. Or with not being harsh, is don't ever think that just because you are in the process of leading, that somehow exempts you from the requirement to be loving and to be leading with love. You can't say, well, I'm a really loving husband, except when I need to lead. That doesn't work that way. You can't ever use the fact that you're providing as an excuse for not loving. Your behavior at all times is constrained by all the commands of God. And we can't say, well, I'll pick and choose when I apply which ones. No, all the time, all of what God requires you. That's work. We have to put all those together in a package of how we relate with our wife. So what does it mean to love your wife? If all we were left was this raw statement, love your wife, kind of like it's stated in Colossians 3, that might just be wide open to interpretation, right? This is how I love my wife. But right after issuing a command in verse 25, look at the text. Husbands, love your wives. And then Paul puts a specific definition on that by saying, just as Christ also loved the church. See, our definition of what it means to love your wife is given to us in the form of a prototype. Jesus himself is our example. See, this kind of love that we're to have for our wives, men, is not a mere emotionalism that card makers and florists just made a killing on over the weekend. It's also not the erotic kind of self-focused, self-interested, self-pleasuring love like the Greek gods demonstrated and like Hollywood has made common in our culture. Rather, it's the kind of selfless love we see from Christ that we sang about this morning, that all those who are in Christ have experienced in deep measure. That's the prototype for how we are to love our wife. Selfless, giving love demonstrated by Christ in his death for his chosen ones. Now, men, when it says, husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church, obviously it's not saying that you need to die a sacrificial death for her, although the sacrificial death for Christ is what is immediately on the surface here in his giving himself up for her. He's saying, rather, you should emulate the principles by which Christ went about loving the church. Well, what are those? What are the principles? What are the ways in which Christ went about loving the church that clarify how you're to love your wife? Well, Paul gives some of them to us in this text right here. He continues on. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her so that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word. Immediately in verse 25, we see something very clear. Just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her. A principle by which you are to love your wife, follow the specific command of Scripture, love your wife, is the way in which Christ loved the church. How did he do that? First and foremost, it was sacrificially. So if you're looking for a principle about how you go about and everything that should be in your mind as you think about loving your wife, it needs to be sacrificially / graciously. He gave himself up for her. So the first principle that we would attach to this idea of loving your wife would be sacrificially, graciously. He willingly gave at a great cost to himself in order to do what was needed, most needed for the church. Second principle, we see in verse 26 and 27, so that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present her to himself, or present to himself the church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she would be holy and blameless. Well, what's that about? What did Christ do for the church? What is Paul referring to of how he loved the church in this sacrifice of himself on the cross? It was not only was it a sacrificial, a gracious giving, but it was a redemptive kind of love. He was loving the church redemptively. In other words, doing what was most necessary, most needful for the church in the long run. In a redemptive sense, bringing up, lifting up the church out of the sinful state they were in. So as we think about loving our wives, not necessarily bringing our wife out of the sinful state she is in, although what we are talking about is Christ did what was most needful for her in the long run. He was loving the church redemptively. We are to love our wives redemptively. We are to bring to her, provide for her what is necessary for her good in the long run. Well, what are those kinds of things? I mean, you could talk about physical things, health-wise, provision of home, etc. But primarily, what is best in the long run, in eternity, for your wife? That's what Paul is driving at. That's what Christ did. He didn't just come and take away all our diseases. He didn't just come and kind of give us riches and everything that would make this life profitable. He did what was best for us in the long run, in eternity. And so this is a responsibility of providing, not just materially for your wife, but providing for her spiritual growth in a sense of redemptively. You're not saving her. You're not bringing her salvation, but you are growing her in Christ, what will cause her to develop her relationship with Christ. So Christ loved the church redemptively. We're to love our wives redemptively. Verse 28, Paul gives another principle here. So husbands ought to love their own wives as they love their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. No one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it just like Christ does the church, because we're members of his body. What's Paul talking about here? He's talking about a husband loving his wife particularly. Particularly, just like Christ loved the church. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, look at the two words that Paul uses. He's using a metaphor here of loving your wife just like you love your own body. You love your own body. You care for your own body very particularly. You don't just go down the American, all the food categories and say, okay, I need so many calories a day and whatever someone tells me, I'll just eat those things. Well, no, that wouldn't work, because you are an individual and you have figured out over time what foods are good for you, how much caffeine you can take, what kind of exercise you need to stay in good health. And you do those things for yourself. You care for your own body. You know when your nails need to be trimmed and your hair needs to be cut. And you do all of those things very particularly because it's you and you're the one charged with caring for you. And so you have to do that. Well, that's exactly what Paul is talking about here with these two words that he uses in verse 29. No one ever hated his own flesh or totally disregarded his own flesh, but nourishes it and cherishes it. Well, let's take a look at these two words here real quick. Nourish, in most English translations, it uses that phrase. It's the same Greek word that's used in Ephesians 6:4 that speaks about bringing up your children, nourishing children, whatever is needed to promote health and growth in a general sense, right? What do kids need to grow? They need food. They need exercise. They need a safe place to sleep, et cetera, et cetera. Whatever is necessary in all areas of life to promote growth. This is what Paul is saying. That's what you do for yourself. You provide for yourself whatever is necessary to promote health and growth in a general sense. House, clothes, food, companionship, spiritual nourishment, encouragement, affection, social engagement, etc. Those are things that would promote the health of your wife. I mean, all people need those things. And men, it's your responsibility to make sure your wife gets those things. That's nourish. That's in a general sense. But the second word takes it a step further. In this word, the most English translations use cherish, which is kind of an old word that we don't use in the same sense that I think the original translators into English used it. It's beyond what's basic and necessary. It's speaking of providing for particular needs. It's a word that described, the Greek word behind this English word cherish is a word that described a nurse caring for an infirm patient, a mother caring for an infant, or for how you care for your own body. Very particularly attentive to immediate needs. A mother, whenever the baby cries, she's interested in why the baby's crying. A nurse who is caring for an infirm patient, kind of an in-home nurse kind of person, her whole responsibility is to see whatever that patient needs and see to it. That's what's bound up in this word, cherish. It doesn't mean to highly esteem or to think highly of, like honor, like we often think of the word cherish these days. It means to be absolutely attentive to the particular needs. I mean, when it comes to understanding how we are to love our wives, we are to love our wives like that, particularly. So you don't just read Dr. Goodlove's book about how, you know, the 25 things every man needs to do for his wife, and you just go about doing those things. You go particularly, you understand your wife, you know what her particular needs are, and then you seek to meet them. You're to be attentive to your wife's individual needs. Who cares what every woman needs? You're not married to every woman. You're married to your wife. And so you need to be attentive to her particular needs. And you don't ever need to grow bitter or harsh or frustrated that your wife is high maintenance or she requires a lot or whatever other label you want to give. She has been given to you as your wife by God. And you need to be attentive to her needs. Doesn't mean catering to every whim. How are you to lead? You're to lead redemptively, right? You're to do what is for her good in the long run, best. But in particular to her is what Paul is talking about there in verses 28 and 29. See, this is how God treats us. Isn't it right? God doesn't just dole out all the same faith to every person, all the same answers to prayer to every person. He doesn't collect up a list of all the prayers in a given day and answer the top five and just give it to everyone. No, he listens to you in particular as you come to him with your needs. And he answers those prayers. And that's how a husband is to deal with his wife. You are to nourish her generally, provide for what she needs, both in a physical and spiritual and emotional state, but also you're to cherish her very particularly. So to this command here that's just stated very plainly, just like the others, love your wives, don't be harsh with them, honor them. We see to this command, love your wives, we're adding some principles, some additives in Scripture that you must apply as you seek to love your wife. And right here in Ephesians 5, as we think about Christ loving the church, we see these principles laid out. We've seen he loved the church sacrificially. So when I think about loving my wife, I need to think in terms of sacrificially, giving myself for her. I need to think in terms of redemptively, giving myself for her, for what is for her best good in the long run. Giving myself to her particularly, for her needs, not just in a generalized sense. And if we're thinking and spending time in God's Word, what's going to happen as we read more and more and think and meditate more and more on how Christ loved the church? We're going to come up with more lees, redemptively, sacrificially, particularly. We're going to come up with other principles by which we should apply this love to our wife. Romans 5:8. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. What's the principle behind what Christ did there? While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Exactly the same thing Paul's talking about in Ephesians 5, Christ's sacrificial death for us. But here's another principle. Christ loved the church unconditionally. It didn't have to do with how good they were. It had to do with he chose to display his love toward the church, even in their sinful state. So there's another principle that as we are reading the Scripture and thinking about Christ, knowing that Christ is our example of how we to love our wives, we know that God's telling us we need to love our wives unconditionally because that's how Christ loved the church. You go to 1 John 3:18, meditating on that verse. It says we're not to love with word or with tongue, but in deed and in truth. So I don't need to just have loving thoughts and feelings and towards my wife. I need to actually do. I need to be loving actively, just like Christ did. He didn't just pity us. He did what was necessary to relieve our pitiful condition. Love actively. You can go to 1 Corinthians 13. A clear set of attitudes is laid out there, what biblical love looks like. You see what we're doing? A thoughtful examination of Scripture begins to expand how we go about loving our wives. You could meditate on other Scriptures and discern other principles. That's why I didn't put a specific number of blanks there on the outline when we're talking about principles here. Because you could continue to thoughtfully think about them. As you meditate on Scripture, this is what Christ was doing as he loved the church. That's what I need to be doing, and as I love my wife. Understand this. The Scripture doesn't just give us a list of commands that we're to obey, like a long checklist. Okay, now go at it. Here's your long list of things to do. You've searched the Scripture, and here's all the commands. Just go at it. Scripture is not presented to us that way. You are given very specific commands. Oftentimes, they are general. Some commands are very specific. Do not steal. I mean, there's not a lot of wiggle room there, right? It's not steal. You don't take something that doesn't belong to you. Other commands are more general. Love your wife, for instance. Well, what does that look like? And so we need to attach to that command these principles that we can discern from Scripture by the way that Paul talked about loving our wives. Like Christ loved the church. Here's how you do it. So how did Christ love the church? Okay. And then you wisely, God expects you to wisely live out or put those principles into practice as you're obeying the commands that are clear. Okay, does that make sense? We have commands and principles that we have to attach to them. The commands must be obeyed. The principles must be obeyed. But how you would go about obeying those principles may be different for each person. For instance, upon a man understanding from Scripture that he needs to love his wife as Christ loved the church, he needed to be the leader in his home spiritually, and lovingly provide for their spiritual nourishment and do so in a redemptive and sacrificial and particular way, he might consider how he might put those into action. So he's thinking, and just over time he realizes, you know what? In order to spiritually lead my home, I'm going to have my family in church every Sunday. It doesn't matter if it's vacation, holiday, business, whatever. We're going to be in a church that's preaching God's word. That's just the way I'm going to lead my home. That's just a way we're going to run up my house. Would that be an acceptable application of obeying the command to love his wife and to be loving her redemptively? Sure. Absolutely. That's a good application. Is that within his right as head to direct his family's affairs like that and to make those kinds of decisions on behalf of his family and to make sure those things happen? Sure. He's the head. You bet. He has the right to make those kinds of decisions. Does it mean that every Christian man, as he matures in Christ and seeks to obey his responsibility to love his wife redemptively, that he would need to make that same application, otherwise he would be in sin? No. See, that's taking that understanding of the Scripture too far. It's not understanding that the way in which you love your wife redemptively may look like different things for different people. See, to love your wife redemptively may look like that, but to ever say it must look like exactly that is a different thing. A man must love his wife. He must love her redemptively, sacrificially, unconditionally, actively, etc. But that might look a lot like a lot of different things. Each man has the freedom to discern in his own unique situation exactly how that plays out. Now, men, we need to be careful here. Because when we hear the word, each man has the freedom to do it as he sees best. Okay. Maybe not at all. Yeah, I'm doing that. We need to be careful with our freedoms. Because what comes with all freedoms? Responsibility. We have an accountability before God to not take the freedom that he has given us to wisely discern how we will lead our family and make it in the sense that, okay, but I just don't have to do anything. I'm free. Okay. A husband who has fallen into that kind of trap will likely say, well, yeah, I'm loving my wife. I mean, I work hard for her. I provide a good living for her, a nice house. I buy her flowers on her anniversary. Always a gift on her birthday. I mean, every day when I leave the house, I always give her a kiss. I mean, I even compliment her on how good she looks when we go out. I mean, I'm a good husband. I mean, you should see these guys at work, man. They are just pitiful, but you bet I love my wife. Okay. That's all good stuff. There's nothing wrong with any of those things. But let's ask, okay, What about redemptively? How are you providing for her spiritual needs? What are you doing to provide for that? What about her need for companionship? You were provided to her by God as her companion. How are you providing companionship? Are you doing that generally? Providing general companionship or particular companionship for your own wife and what she needs? How are you doing on loving her unconditionally when she fails you or blows it? In what ways are you actively guiding her growth into a stronger relationship with Christ? Hey, wait a minute here. I'm a good husband. Didn't I tell you all the things I'm doing? I mean, get off my case. See what's happened here. What we have is a Christian man who's done well at taking seriously and understanding that there's a command here in Ephesians 5 for him to love his wife. And yet he stepped away from Scripture beyond just that command. And he said, well, I'm supposed to love my wife, so let me just start thinking about how I might do that. Well, I need to provide a good home for her. I think there's something in Scripture about that and this and that. And, oh, yeah, that guy does that over there. And I read this book over here. And he's collected up this eclectic version of how he thinks he should love his wife. And he's going about doing those things. So he's done good as far as he is going. And yet the problem is he's left Scripture behind. Because God, who commanded us to love our wives, also gave us the principles about how we are to live out that life. Peter tells us, live out that love. Peter tells us in 2 Peter that God has granted to us all things pertaining to life and godliness. The Scriptures are sufficient to teach us how to love our wives. And so as we go elsewhere and just make up our own ideas of how we love our wife, we may stand before God one day and try to protest that we did all these good things. And he'll say, well, yeah, where did you come up with those? How do you know that's exactly how I wanted you to love your wife? Well, I just, what about my word? You see, that's where we have to do the work, men, to go beyond just the general commands in Scripture and discern from the Scripture what the principles are about how we apply those. God's word provided you all you need for life and godliness, but he's not provided it to you in a 1-2-3 grocery list of all the things you should do for your wife every day. Buy her flowers every first Tuesday of the month. Read your Bible with her at 9 p.m. on Monday, Wednesday, Friday. You know, don't bug her about how much she spent on her haircut. I mean, you know, it doesn't give us those things. You have to decide what those things are. And you have to, so how do I know? Well, you go to God's word and discern the principles about how Christ loved the church. And then you apply those to how you love your wife. What God has given us are these overarching commands. Love your wife. Don't be harsh with her. Honor her in your home, in your relationship with her. And so you could attach to don't be harsh other principles in Scripture that flesh out that command. You could attach to honor her other ways in which that honor is shown by those in leadership. Okay, so we take the commands and we apply the principles to them. We must give attention to these principles. I mean, you can't love your wife however you want to. You've got to love as Christ loved the church. God expects us to go to the Scripture to discern these things as we are reading and absorbing his heart that is contained within the Scripture, carefully, thoughtfully, faithfully evaluate our own current situation with the commands he's given us by the principles that he has stated. And incorporate those. Man, that takes work. It's going to require you to think, men. You can't just say, well, Ted, I mean, you just preached a whole sermon on how you should respond to your wife, and you only gave me three things here. That's because you need to take up those things. You need to carefully search the Scriptures. It takes work, just like any good manager. What will a good manager of a business do? He will not only respond to the day-to-day needs of the things that are going on, but who also think long term. What practices, habits, schedules, etc. can I put in place in my realm so that these things that I desire to happen will happen? I'm managing the day to day. I'm doing the things. But I'm also setting up my home, or arranging my home, organizing it so that those principles can be lived out. I'm providing for a safe environment in my home, a well-ordered home, etc., etc. Those things assist you in being a day-to-day loving leader in your home. But don't fool yourself into thinking that God's pleased with you loving your wife according to your own ideas. He's pleased with you loving your wife according to His ideas. Okay? The principles contained in His Word. This is something we constantly are growing in, men. We don't arrive as perfect husbands. We grow in being husbands as we grow in our relationship with Christ. Well, there's another danger here besides just taking our freedom and just, that means I can do whatever I want to, however I want to. There's another danger. Some men have taken the way they apply certain principles in Scripture, and they have made those into rules that everyone in the church must abide by, otherwise they're not being a faithful Christian. They kind of foist their applications on the church. In effect, what they're doing at that point is they may be making a good application, but at that point they're teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. We live by principles, not by rules that men have made up based on those principles. And doubtless, men, as we seek to move forward in this area of living with our wives as Christ would call us to, we're gonna interact with some of these teachings, that some of these rules, some of these ways in which some men have made application of these principles. So what I want to do tonight, I want to continue this tonight by taking a bit closer look at some of the teachings of what I just want to call the modern patriarchy movement. And we'll talk about what that term patriarchy means tonight, to just ensure that we don't take this issue of a man's role in his home further than the Scriptures would allow us to. I urge you to be here tonight. We're going to carefully try to discern. Yes, we want to move in the right direction. We just don't want to go further than the Scriptures call us to. But this morning we looked at two things. One, what the Lord commands of a man in regard to his relationship with his wife. To lead, direct, provide, and protect in a general sense. But in specific with regard to his wife, to honor, to not be harsh, and to love. And then we looked at some various principles contained within the Scripture of how we are supposed to obey those five commands. And we just need to be seeking to actively live by principle and not just by rule alone. So if you leave this morning with one thing, men, I want you to leave with the understanding that God has delegated authority to you in your home. He's delegated it to you so that you would use it not for your own ends, not for your own desires, but so that you might be a gracious example of Christ's own love for His people to those members of your family. You are the leader, you are the lover, you are the provider, you are the director, and you are to do those things in the same way that Christ leads the church. Not only commands to obey, but also principles to live by within Scripture. I pray that Christ is front and center in our mind as we think about what it means to love our wives. Let me pray for us as we go. After I pray, I want to just give us a moment to just meditate through these things and, if necessary, to make some commitments to the Lord, to be serious-minded about the role He's put you in, men, and to be serious-minded about what that means in your own home. Let's pray. Father, we come to Your Word and we realize that we are bound to You through this Word. You are not just a principle out there. You are not just a salvation that we can take and do what we want to with. You are the Lord. We want to respond to You as the Lord. Even those of us who are men who have been given headship in our home, we are not our own Lord. You are our Lord. Help us to live before You with a sense of seriousness and accountability. We recognize that our sinful flesh will rise up and cause us to want to abuse that privilege that You have given us for our own ends. And we pray You would protect us from that. Help us to be gracious husbands and fathers. Help us never to domineer or be harsh with our wife. Help us to honor her and love her as your special gift to us.